Hello viewers, we all know that Sourav Ganguly has donned multiple hats on and off the cricket field. But today we are in the midst of Sourav Jain, who has donned multiple hats in the investment and leadership space and continues to do so. He is currently the co-founder of Stable Alpha, a wealth tech platform focused on fixed income. He was previously associated as Navi AMC's CEO. He's also been the assistant VP at Swiggy and a founder of Truce. A data wizard, a team leader, a quick negotiator, and a person full of ideas. Sourav's life has come full circle for you, having taken up an entrepreneurship role at Stable Alpha. Please throw us some light on it for our viewers.
Thank you so much, team. I'm very happy to be here, and it's a very good introduction. I've never heard anything like this before. I think you mentioned most of it in a crisp manner. I'll just add a little more details to it. I think most of the choices in the career and deciding college is not from what I really wanted to do, but more from what I didn't want to do. So pursued engineering because I never wanted to do medical. I was very bad at biology. Got into IIT Bombay 6 to 10. Post that, never wanted to do consulting because I was very scared of talking to people and convincing people. So got into data analytics, did that for around 4.5-5 years. Very interestingly, like for most of the founders, it's the ideas come from some of their personal experience. For me, I think it's more from FOMO. I was based in Geneva for a couple of years, and when I came here and to meet some of my friends, everybody was in either the founder or starting something very soon of their own. And I realized that being outside India is no more fun. I think doing something in India was the thing at that point in time. So since then came back to India. The plan was to start something of my own. Spoke to one of my college friends, and we got into agri-tech, where we were focusing on the supply chain. We were procuring from farmers and delivering it to businesses. That was the idea. We tried it for a couple of years, had our own share of mistakes. And then me and my co-founder joined Swiggy. It's a great time to join Swiggy. Raised a large round. The focus was on growth. We were doing 1 lakh order then. I think today we are north of what, 1 million orders at Swiggy. Got opportunity to work with amazing team at Swiggy. The focus was, one of the key roles that I played there was to scale Swiggy from 9 cities to 500 cities. Was one heck of a task. We launched almost 500 cities in a span of what, 200 days. So that was the key part. Then got opportunity to work at Navi, directly work with Sachin Bansal. I was not very sure in terms of how it'll pan out, but gave it a shot. And 2.5 years, last 2.5 years were crazy to working with him. Got opportunity to work as chief of staff, then as CEO mutual fund. Was heading health insurance for a small span of time. And my last stint was working on a SaaS strategy for Navi. Left a couple of months back and starting with one of my very dear friends from college again, company called Stable Alpha.
That's been a good journey. I mean, I think the compounding of your experience and your journey is much, much, much greater than what my investment journey in total has given. But you know, taking that analogy, like Swiggy, 9 cities to 500 cities, right? And in what, 2 years, if I'm not wrong, you mentioned?
No, it was 6 months.
6 months. Okay, great. Then again, I think the compounding has happened like exponentially and super fast, right? So extending that analogy to our topic, you know, for this episode that we have, which is, it's called portfolio allocation, a game of skill and patience, right? So when we talk about portfolio allocation, we are everyone, not anyone who's, you know, a naive investor or an experienced investor looking at returns, right? So if you could throw light on that aspect, but begin with, what do you mean by skill and what do you mean by patience? So how would you coin these two terms when it comes to portfolio allocation?
So see, it's more what I have realized, most of the investment is about the human psychology, right? And if you also see a lot of platforms who have mastered the investment for retail investors are mostly focusing on the human psychology, right? Like, for example, I don't think risk management in investment is more about how do you manage when the risk comes. It's mostly about figuring out where all things can go wrong and plan for those things upfront. I think that's a very important skill. People talk a lot about that you should maintain patience. You should not be greedy when it comes to investments, but at this point in time, mostly the retail investors who are like us are focusing more on growing money. So I believe you can increase the awareness with the investors very easily. So average awareness is keep constantly going up. But if you see the greed or less of patience, that is very difficult to move. That will not move on an average for anybody. I think absolutely that number is going down. So it's very difficult. And despite how many podcasts we do, or despite how many sessions people are doing about patience and compounding, only small set of people will be able to figure it out. And I believe the most important thing to that is, what is your own experience when it comes to investments? In last 3 to 4 years, people have seen less of volatility because most of the retail investors in India have entered into the last 3-4 years, right? Because of the platforms, because of market conditions, the ease of doing investments. They haven't seen volatility in the market in the true sense. I believe when people have their own set of personal experiences is when they learn that, okay, this is how I behave, this is how my investments have behaved in the past, and these are the things I need to change. So I believe, yeah, so I think it's more, it's very customized for a particular investors because the desires are very different, but the very common desire across all the human beings is having control of their own time. And that control of their own time comes with more money. And when they see that they are not having a control of their time, they'll focus on how to make more money. And then they'll focus on what are the mistakes that I've made and then try to rectify those to work it out. Unfortunately, for few people, it takes a longer period of time. For few people, it's quicker. But yeah, I think that's the most important thing when it comes to compounding.
So I'll take your experiences at different ventures as stocks. So how risky was it for you to switch from a company like Swiggy and entering to a completely different space like Navi AMC? And what was the driving force or the faith that you had in yourself, or what was the pushing factor to, you know, make such a big switch?
Yeah. So I was actually thinking that what can go wrong with my decision, right? Trying to solve for some of those things upfront. One thing is maybe the work I don't like at Navi. I'm not able to do the kind of work that is expected out of me, right? And because of that, what will happen? Then I have to think about, okay, what are the other options that I already had? Can I come back to Swiggy, work with the folks again? Can I do something of my own? Can I join any other company with the kind of experience that I have? And I, so that's one thing I figured out. And I was always very clear that I can go back to Swiggy or there are some other similar opportunities that I can get onto. So that is one thing I did. Also, you have a sounding board. And to my career, I always have 4 folks that I talk to when it comes to any career decisions. So those are the folks I spoke to. So these are a couple of things I did to protect my downside for any career decisions. And then move forward. In most of these cases, if you have a downside protected, I believe it gives you a longer runway to make things work out, right? But if you don't have downside protected, you will be, because if anything goes wrong in the next move, you'll quickly change back and go to your square one. But if the downside is protected, that gives you a little more patience and you can try it out, try to make it work for a longer period of time, and more often than not, it will work out.
So talking about downside protection, and you know, these are technical terms, right? So we use it in our investment journey and everything. So coming back to the topic that we're focusing on, I'd like to you know, ask you, Saurabh, when did you start your financial journey? What triggered it? Like, what was that point in your career or, you know, in your life that triggered that, you know, boss, this is where, like, as you mentioned that, you know, it's always a game of or a trade-off between time versus money, right? So when did you realize that parameter, and when did your financial journey, you know, commenced?
God, I believe when I was based in Geneva for some time, is that's where my savings really grew. And I reached a point where I had a comfort zone in terms of, okay, I have enough savings, enough cushion for me to try different things with respect to my career choices, try different things with respect to my investment choices, right? So the turning point for me was when you reach a safe point, right? Safe zone in your head, saying that, okay, now I have decently enough capital that if everything goes wrong, I'll have this capital, and that's good enough for me to start again, right? So that happened in 2013. That's when my dad is a stockbroker. So I've seen investments in my whole life for the last, 20, 25 years. And then whatever new money I was earning every month as a salary, right, was going into trying and investing into different instruments, right? So I started with stock market. In stock market as well, I started with more of a riskier penny stocks, micro stocks, small cap stocks, right? And then slowly, and initial period of time, it worked for me. But then over time, I lost money because I was making wrong choices. I was not very informed when it comes to investing into stocks. I was going more with the flow. But then I started looking at doing my own research, focusing more on blue cap, blue chip stocks, started doing more and more investments there. I've realized. And then, so once I've done some good, decent investments, I got into my own startup. And for the next 2 years, I couldn't do any investments, right? But that also helped me because I could not go back and looked into my stocks and portfolio and the prices on a daily basis. And because of that, I did not do a lot of transactions buying and selling on the stocks. And that is where the compounding happened. And in 2017 is where I realized that whatever I've been doing in 13 to 15, where I was buying, selling a lot of time, has not given me any returns. But when I was completely off, done my research, invested in those stocks, and not looking at it on a frequent basis, is where stocks or the investment actually compounded. So that's what I've been doing since 2015 to now. Whatever mutual funds or the stocks that I've bought, I've not sold it. In some cases, it's a bad call. But in most of the cases, it has worked well. It's also because of the Indian markets have done really well over the last 3-4 years. That's been... So I think you have to reach a comfort zone in your head before you start investing.
Now that, you know, you've progressed so much in your investment journey and your career and everything, now that you are wiser than you were a long time ago, what advice would you shell out for young investors like us, you know, or maybe for someone who's just entering the corporate world and who's just starting to earn? So how would you advise him or her to bifurcate or allocate his income and into which kind of asset classes? What would be your recommendation for a true structure of a portfolio allocation per se?
No, I think for me, you have to see what are the really bets you are making, right? So I have seen a lot of time that I was betting on a disruptive technology. I was actually betting on a low interest rates in the market, which is giving a lot of liquidity, which is putting a lot of money in the startups with tech, and that was growing. But as soon as the interest rates start going up, the liquidity dries, and these technology startups have started failing, right? Sometimes you believe that you are putting money in alternative energy, but it turns out to be you are really putting money in subsidies and tax credits and whatever the government has been offering, right? Once they start tightening it up, it'll start breaking. So I think, I'm not saying it's bad. I think just you have to see the second order effect of the investments that you are making. Sometimes you get to know that by reading or talking to a few people who have seen this, or sometimes you do it by making your own share of mistakes. The only thing is, like for me, what has worked is you will be in a comfortable zone to make mistakes. Like you have seen, maybe most of us have done crypto investments, but everybody's psyche was that I'll put money which I'm okay to lose. Right, I'll put 50,000. I'm okay if this 50,000 becomes zero. Right, you will get that level of comfort only when you have a safe money, and that's where the portfolio allocations becomes very important. Right, we keep talking about FDs are not good, it's not beating inflation, and a lot of these things. But you see what has really saved Indian market, retail investors, many of us, is that we still have a large chunk in FDs and fixed income, right, which gives us a lot of comfort that we can go back to our square one, still have a decent life. We don't have to think when the markets are down, right? So everyday routine will go as normal, even if the markets are going up and down. So I believe second order thinking when it comes to investments, and having some safe money, right? A portfolio allocation becomes very critical. Now, when it comes to portfolio allocation, I believe what has really changed, right? And that's the thesis of what we are building, is in the last 4 or 5 years, because of the ease of doing KYC, technology, companies getting in, right? A lot of investors, retail investors, have shown a depth or willingness to do DIY investments with multiple investment platforms. But it's mostly focused on equity and equity mutual funds, right? Something around those lines. So, but the same retail investors is putting all of their money, right, into FDs or physical gold. Right, so it's on one place you're driving a Ferrari when it comes to equity investments, but when it comes to your portfolio allocation fixed income, it's like an ambassador that you're doing the same thing again and again, because either people are not aware, or even if people are aware, the complexity in fixed income is slightly higher than what comes to the equity investments, right? Because on equity side, you see the stocks, you know the company, right? You can make quick calls. Fixed income is a little more nuanced than that. So that's one thing that we are trying to solve for a lot of retail investors, that how you should think about your fixed income investments. As I said, that some part has to be on FDs, but there has to be some other, there are multiple other investment opportunities in fixed income, which can really give you consistent return over a long period of time, which keeps pushing your comfort zone on a higher and higher bar, right? Which allows you to take slightly more risks in future, with whether it's your personal choices or investment choices, which in some cases it really works out, I think, can give you a long capital. So yeah, that's, these are some of the things that we think of when we think of portfolio allocation.
I think that is a brief entry strategy and a correct method to, you know, remain, to have a stable portfolio. And I would take a lot of cues from that. And what I have noticed from investors and other leaders in the industry is that they have not come up with a detailed exit strategy as you have come up with your first startup called Truce. I read through the whole letter that you sent out to investors, and it was, I think that was the correct decision which you made at that point of time. And I would like to take this analogy to the investment portfolio, where I would like to ask you that which is the right time to make an exit, and how to you know, utilize your patience and what is the right time to make an exit strategy? Like, I want someone to tell me that this is the right time, you should exit it right now.
Yeah. See, I think obviously there are a lot of technical angles to it when it comes to stock prices, the mutual fund, that, okay, this is the right time to make an exit, which a lot of that has been commoditized, right? That what is the good time to enter a stock? What is a good time to exit a stock? So I believe keeping that as a baseline, everybody is aware ki mota moti, this is the time to enter and this is the time to exit. But I think the most important thing for me is that how comfortable are you to keeping that investments? Because you will, if you are not comfortable about that particular investment, right, whether it's in crypto, whether it's in digital gold, whether it's in particular stocks or a mutual fund, there will be multiple threads in your head that will be going constantly. And if you constantly focus on those threads, right, that, okay, I'm not so bullish on the disruptive technologies that I've invested. I'm not so bullish now on some of the US stocks that I've invested, right, which I was in the past. And you are feeling constantly uncomfortable about it. And some of these technical numbers are also showing that. I think that is a good time to exit. There is no need to unnecessarily push and show the patience, right, which is uncomfortable for you, because it will not only impact that particular investment decision, it will reduce your ability to think about the future investments that you do if you have multiple threads in your head going right now, right? And that's what's happening. When we were doing our first startup, we realized that there are certain things in the agri supply chain which is so critical to Indian businesses, which Indian ecosystem, which you can't change or replace by technology. And we were more certain about those things, is when we thought that there is no point of spending investors' money on this and make it going. So I think it'll be better off that we return the money, we put our energy efforts on some other problems, which is more likely to get solved, right? At least in that point in time. So that's how I believe you have to think about it. Obviously, go through all the technical numbers, talk to experts, get expert advice. But the focus has to be a lot on how comfortable are you right now in your head. And sometimes you have to fight with your ego that I was so bullish about this stock. I have told so many friends about this stock. How can I now sell this? But it's a very difficult call, but if in that point in time you're not comfortable, I think that's the best call that you should take, because otherwise it will impact your other future investment decisions also.
I think this is where awareness also plays a role, right? So if you're not experienced or if you're not educated enough to do your own investing, that's why mutual funds have come out, like professionals handle your money. But HNIs, yeah, you know, let you invest into PMSs or AIFs, that professionals do it. So I think that awareness over here, as we, you know, mentioned in the initial conversation, that plays a big role. But anyway, coming back to, you know, investing, portfolio allocation and everything. So I'm currently in my late 20s, right? And so I have a lot of peers who are not in the financial scene. So when I try to explain to them that, you know, this is what compounding means and, you know, this is what wealth creation will happen. And I think I get this question often that, boss, I am 20 right now, 25, 27, 28, whatever the amount of energy, motivation I have within me right now is not going to come back when I'm 40. So you are telling me that, you know, I'll accumulate so-and-so wealth when I turn 40, but I'll not be able to go scuba diving when I'm 45, right? I'll not be able to go parasailing when I'm 45. So with the amount of money that I have right now, should I not go visit Dubai, LA, etc., etc.? Why should I put that in? So I'm investing. So this argument that I get is that, should I invest into experiences or should I invest into like equities and FTs? So how do you counter that argument when it comes to people, you know, who are young and so motivated to do everything in life?
Yeah, no, I think I also have a similar opinion to your friends that experiences at this particular age is more important than if you spend 500 rupees to go to whatever, a particular movie and get that experience, or keep that money in SIP, which after 20, 30 years will give you maybe 15,000 rupees. I don't think that makes a lot of sense, right? But when it comes to smaller investments, when it comes to quicker experiences, I absolutely believe that. But you also have to think that if you have to constantly do that forever, that constantly keep spending money on the experiences, you'll have to invest some amount so that you can have a future experiences. Like whatever you have been living, you continue to live that over time. is one thing I recommend. I believe, see, the most important thing, right? When people really, I have seen when retail investors really start caring about that, I don't want to lose money, is when you save enough and reach a point, let's say 15 lakh is that amount, right? Once you reach 15 lakh is where people will start thinking more about not to lose that 15 lakhs than to make that 15 lakhs a 30 lakh. But if somebody's left 1 lakh, he'll think of making 5 lakh more. So I believe slowly if young people start investing, I think they'll soon reach a point over time from where I think they will realize the importance of compounding. They'll realize that, okay, I don't want to lose money now. How should I do it better? Where they're constantly investing on their experiences also. So I think it's a mixed bag. It's very difficult to put a formula to this. But if somebody is doing certain things in a certain way, it's very difficult to go and tell people that change it. Right? I have seen in my personal experience, I've gone with a lot of wealth managers. When they go and visit their clients, they'll never go and tell them in their first visit that all the investments that you have done, whether it's an FD, LIC, has been wrong. They say that all these investments are good, but now your new money, whatever you'll get next month, put some amount of that into this new assets that I'm recommending. And slowly that compounds, they realize that, okay, first this person is not mis-selling me, pushing me to do something which I've been doing for so long. Don't tell me I'm wrong, right? But then they realize that, okay, this is also doing good. And that's where the money starts shifting from FDs or from their maybe not so good investments to good investments. So I think you don't have to tell them that what you are doing is wrong. I think you have to tell them that, but you try this one additional thing when it comes to your investments. And that's where the whole story of SIP, 500 rupees ka SIP karo, has worked really well. Because I've seen people meet from 500 constant SIPs are now increased their SIP amount, have saved a lot of money. So both has happened.
So you have rightly stated that there has to be a fine balance between the experiences and the investments that one has. For experiences, we have our Instagram to show that the experiences hone chahiye. But for my investment portfolio, my question to you is, what is your current market outlook with the interest rates rising? Where should one invest, or where should one go, or where is India headed right now?
So I think of all the economies that I see, I'm not the experts like others. I believe we are in a decent shape in terms of the future of the economy, at least for the next a decade or so. I believe you can't believe in risk without believing in luck, right? I believe these are fundamentally the same things. There are so many things which are out of your control, which you can't do. Right. So in India as well, though everybody's saying this has been bullish, I think luck might also play, and there could be bigger impact things that can happen, but that you can't control. Till that time, I think I recommend, or I suggest, or I do that this is a good place to do investments right now.
Great, Saurabh. I think we'll wrap up the conversation with a quick rapid fire round if you are on board.
No, okay.
Yeah, it has to be very quick and very impromptu. All right. So I'll start with Dajan, each of us, let's start one by one. Okay. So my first word would be, say, portfolio.
Balanced.
Allocation.
Fixed income.
Inflation.
Scary.
Wealth.
Aspirational.
India.
Bullish.
Leadership.
Tricky.
Cryptocurrency.
Sad.
Stable alpha.
The future of investment.
Swiggy.
Culture.
Last but not the least, Saurabh.
Learning.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. I enjoyed the conversation, and happy Diwali to you all.
Thanks.
Same to you. Happy Diwali to you.
Thanks for kicking off the second season of Economically Yours. Happy Diwali and have a lovely weekend ahead.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.